Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This episode is presented by New York Mutual Trading.
Hello, welcome to Japan Eats. I'm your host, Akiko Tema, a food writer and director of the New York Japanese Culinary Academy, which promotes deep understanding of Japanese cuisine in America. We are broadcasting live from Brooklyn, New York. This show is all about Japanese food and food culture. We see sushi at every deli in the supermarket, but what is beyond sushi? We hear dashi ramen izakaya, but what exactly are they? Japanese food is still a mystery for many people, and I try to demystify it in this program with my cool guest. And my guest today is Ryo Iwamoto, who is the founder and CEO of Tea Room based in Tokyo. He began studying tea ceremony 15 years ago at the age of 9, and now he is a certified instructor of Japanese tea ceremony. He even has a special name that is only given to outstanding tea practitioners. And Ryo founded Tea Room in 2018 while he was still a student at the prestigious Waseda University to inspire the world with the power of Japanese tea culture. So today we'll discuss how Ryo got into the world of tea at such a young age, the essence of Japanese tea culture he has been passionate about, and how tea can help us to bring the world more caring and peaceful place, his various projects to make his vision come true, including his eye-opening products to attract new tea drinkers, and much, much more. But before we start, Japan Eats is available on the Heritage Radio Network website, as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. So please go to iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, whichever you listen to, and subscribe to Japan Eats. Now, let's start a conversation with Ryo Iwamoto. Hello, Ryo. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for inviting.
So, okay. So, first of all, to get to know you, where are you from and what did you eat when you grew up?
So, I'm from Chiba Prefecture next to Tokyo. So, it's really close to Tokyo, like a 15 minutes train from my house to Tokyo, you know, Tokyo Station, so center of Tokyo. And I was born there. I grew up there. And I, you know, I ate, what did you eat when you grew up is the answer is, what is that? You know, I drank lots of tea, you know, in my life, and I do eat, you know, vegetables as well. I do eat, you know, obento is a, you know, lunchbox that my mother cooks every single day. So that kind of things I ate when I grew up.
Right. Sounds like a very healthy lifestyle you started your life. So, and yeah. And then how did you get into tea ceremony?
So when I was 9 years old, I watched a TV show having Tea Master in it. And I was just inspired by his, you know, style, you know, his attitude, you know, his respectful, you know, in a manner in the TV show. And I just told my mom, you know, I want to start tea ceremony. And that's my start.
Wow. That's such inspiration just on the TV program. Okay. And then, for listeners who are not familiar with tea ceremony, what is tea ceremony?
So it's really difficult question. You know, tea ceremony is too deep, too simply expressed by words, you know, but I'd say, you know, we often say in the Western world or Western culture, we have a big moment or holidays to celebrate, right? You know, New Year, you know, Christmases, what is that? You know, Thanksgivings, you know, that's a big moment. But on the other hand, we in Japanese culture, we celebrate every single moment of our life. So we appreciate to drink tea, and we appreciate to be here. You know, we appreciate to talk on the podcast, on this podcast as well. So we appreciate every single moment of our life through tea, you know, through the way of tea. So that's simple words to express tea ceremony.
Right. Yeah. And in a very general term, usually there's a host who knows how to make tea, typically, you know, matcha green tea, and a small room, a very quiet room. And then the role of the host is to make you provide the happiest moment, most peaceful moment, and you are really, really a special person to enjoy this moment. So, right?
Exactly.
And so the word like ichigo ichie, we started to hear more in the Western world too. It's this one meeting at this moment is the most special moment of life, because it's not going to happen ever again with this person, this setting, this time of the day, this feeling, and every old combination. So that's really almost like living this moment kind of practice for this.
Exactly.
That, right. Okay, so so what do you think is the essence of tea ceremony that you've been fascinated by since you were 9 years old?
That's also a difficult question to answer, but we often say tea ceremony is the way of tea, you know, which means, you know, there is a way to learn, you know, how to be a master or how to be a tea professional that that lives a life celebrating that kind of life, you know, celebrating every single moment of a life. So the word called Ichigo Ichie represents, you know, that way of tea, and that kind of, you know, the way of tea is fascinating me as well. It also, when I was 9 years old, you know, the world is really changing rapidly. You know, after 9 years old, you know, a Japanese big earthquake happens in Japan as well. So, but at that moment, tea is called the way of tea. So there's a way to learn a real tea master, so that I can have a way to learn. You know, I knew the way to be a master. So that's really fascinating for me. You know, most of the things in the world doesn't have a way to achieve, but in tea ceremony, we have a way to achieve, or we have a way to learn how to be a tea master. So that's one thing, you know, that's fascinating.
Right. So the tea ceremony in Japanese is sado, and, you know, everybody knows judo, kendo. So do means the way of, meaning it's the way or path to pursue the perfection, the perfect state, which you never get to anyways. So that's a very spiritual idea. And then in a form of tea ceremony, there are many forms and rituals. And actually, I studied tea ceremony a long time ago. It gave me a hard time to remember everything, but it's a very spiritual aspect. So so many people practice tea ceremony for its spiritual benefit as well. So how can tea ceremony help our mind?
So tea benefits both mind and soul. You know, for mindset or mind, the function of tea is make people relax by its nutrients as well. So L-theanine, one of the nutrients that tea has, makes, you know, people relax. So in the stressful society, we consume tea for, you know, relaxing mind. And also we can benefit to Seoul aspect. You know, we can have community by sharing a cup of tea together. You know, we can have community of different religion or different nationalities or different genders. So by just sharing a cup of tea, we can have, you know, we can have conversation together. So that's kind of the aspects that tea has, I think.
Right, it's most meditation. And it's funny you mentioned the L-theanine because actually matcha has as more caffeine than the coffee, a cup of coffee. But the L-theanine calms you down so you don't get jittery and you can just have both benefits of focus and calmness. So,
exactly.
Yeah, so physically it's beneficial too. Okay, and I heard that you also have a black belt in judo. So is there anything in common between the two, judo and tea ceremony?
Oh, actually, I do karate. So I have karate. But, mm-hmm. you know, as you mentioned, you know, as Akiko mentioned, you know, karate is also a way of karate. So it's do culture. What do you say in English? Do culture? You know, do? Judo?
Yeah, so the way of this, the common translation of do.
Okay, sure. So karate is also do. So as I practice karate, I really come to understand, you know, get to understand the way of karate, which means, you know, but karate shows us to understand, you know, how to, you know, communicate with people physically or mentally. You know, karate sometimes shows us to respect people, even though we punch each other. You know, we have to have the spirits to care someone, even when I punch someone. So that's kind of the spirits of karate. So both karate and tea is a way of something. So that's really common. Yeah,
interesting. So either way, even if you physically attack someone when you're doing karate, yeah, you have respect and kind of caring mind to the other person. So yeah, we have to do that.
Exactly.
Whole show about karate, but yeah, that's interesting. And so I heard you went to the University of Colorado Boulder for a year and studied economics, and experience throughout the year opened your eyes. So maybe you can tell us what the experiences were.
Yeah, I met lots of people with smart and fascinating brains and fascinating motivations. So that kind of people inspired me to, you know, start my company and, you know, influence the world in some ways. So that was really fun and amazing experience in that moment. But what I was most interested in is that I actually have tea sensei, you know, tea master or tea professional in Boulder, Colorado. So, you know, Boulder is like 1 hour or 1 hour and a half away from Denver by car or bus, but in the mountains, there is a tea room in Boulder having a tea class in there. So that sensei, that tea professional, shows me, you know, how to learn Japanese culture in American way. You know, culture is, how to, you know, treat tea from American perspective, and learn, yeah, and when I was tea room in Boulder, I was asked logics, how to whisk tea. So, you know, in Japanese culture or Japanese way of learning is I don't ask anything, you know, I just do it. So that's kind of way of tea style. But in American style, I learn, what is that? How can I say? So sensei tells us the logics, how to whisk tea or why we have to make tea for people. So that was really opened my eyes, and that was interesting.
Interesting. Right. So I think the either style, American or Japanese, try to get to the same place spiritually, calm and respectful to the guests, and try to be full hospitality, Japanese kind of omotenashi. But sounds like the way outside the context of Japanese culture, you have to start with the forms and the techniques, right? So, and then eventually you get to the same place. And if you see tea ceremony practitioner who's very, very high up, very smooth, beautiful, elegant, it's almost like dancing. So if your mind is calm and spiritual and you try to be pleasant as an existence, your behavior changes. Now all those things come to the end from both entrances. But it's interesting that, I know now we started to see more great sushi chefs who are not Japanese people, but they started from, you know, the knowledge base, like techniques and those things. And then eventually you learn also from the master and you get to a high level of perfection, close to perfection. So it sounds like you experienced both aspects in this country. All right, so we'll take a quick break here, and when we come back, I will discuss those unique activities to make the world better through Japanese tea. So please stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by New York Mutual Trading, the premier Japanese food, alcoholic beverage, and restaurant supply specialist. Mutual Trading is the Japanese food authority, true to the heart in upholding genuine Japanese food traditions and progressive in exploring new ways to provide innovative restaurant supplies and services. They import, export, distribute, and manufacture the top brands for retailer and food service customers nationwide. Learn more at nymtc.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Japan Eats. I'm your host, Akiko Katayama, and my guest today is Ryo Iwamoto, who is the founder and CEO of Tea Room based in Tokyo. Ryo founded Tea Room in 2018 to inspire the world with the power of Japanese tea culture. So you founded your own company, Tea Room, in 2018. So why did you found Tea Room?
Oh, I have many reasons to found my company called Tea Room. My mission is to fuse traditional tea culture into our modern lifestyle so that we can have a world without conflict through tea. So that's our mission and the reason to found my company. But the reason why I found my company at that time is, you know, Japanese tea market or Japanese tea industry is really collapsing rapidly right now due to the beverage industry increasing rapidly. So And I have friends of tea farmers across Japan, and I knew the I knew what I have to do. So driven by that mission, I found my company in 2018.
Right. Yeah, so the tea ceremony, even Japanese people, they don't do tea ceremony. I mean, just a handful of people know how to practice tea ceremony. And also, it's very beautiful ritual. I would say rituals is maybe not be the right way, but it's a very beautiful practice, but it doesn't happen on a daily basis. So, but on the other hand, Japanese tea has been really a major part of Japanese people's lives. But like you said, you know, if you go to convenience stores, there's so many pet bottles and you don't see tea leaves anymore. And small handy teapot that used to be at every single household, I think it's disappearing. Also, so you don't, many people don't see even tea leaves, right? And you don't touch the tea leaves and smell it. So it sounds like you're connecting the two culture. I mean, the very spiritual side of making tea, serving tea to other people, even at your house, if there's a guest, Japanese people tend to bring tea, cup of tea, even still now, all the time. So your mission sounds like connecting the two of this tea ceremony and also daily life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So according to your homepage, you find that there's a disconnection between the philosophy of tea ceremony and the modern tea industry, and the gap must be filled. So I think that's your answer. So what do you mean by that?
So I grew up in Japan, and I think I know culture and industry of tea, but while I'm living in Japan, culture and industry, there is a real disconnection between culture and industry. You know, as Akiko mentioned, you know, many people do tea ceremony on a daily basis in Japan. Most of the people are just drinking tea, you know, with a plastic bottle in the convenience that can be bought in the convenience store. So there is a disconnection, and also I find it interesting that, you know, when I make a speech in University of California, UC Davis, I have a question from audience, and one of them is a question about Sennorikyu. It's a founder of tea culture. And the other question is, you know, how to make matcha latte. So that was very symbolic question for me. You know, I was making speech in the conference at UC Davis, and as a tea professional, but audience asks me, you know, how to make matcha latte. So, but back in Japan, you know, I'm not allowed, you know, to ask tea master, you know, tea professional how to make matcha latte. You know, we only ask about culture in the tea room.
Right.
But, you know, with context, you know, with the US context, you know, audience can ask, you know, how to make matcha latte, you know, and audience want to know about, you know, fast culture and, you know, the side of fast culture of matcha, you know, and side of, you know, traditional culture of matcha. So I find it really interesting that, you know, there's a disconnection. You know, I fly to US as a tea man, and audience asks industry question and culture question, and that's really normal. But I fly back to Japan, and that two questions doesn't happen, you know, don't happen, it never happened in Japan. So that's really disconnected. But if I tell a story of Japanese tea culture and can whisk matcha and make matcha latte, you know, that consumer will enjoy the story and matcha latte as well. And I was sure consumers will enjoy both of them. So at that moment, I find a real disconnection between the tea ceremony and industry.
That's very interesting, right? Because, I mean, the Sendo Rikyu is, he's like 300 years ago kind of person. And now everybody wants to drink matcha latte. And what's wrong with that, right? There's a need. And the spirit of matcha making tea is still there. And you know what it is. And also you are living in this generation. So you can connect both of matcha latte and Sendo Rikyu. So, yeah, you're a very precious existence for the tea industry and the whole tea world. So, and your ultimate goal is to create a world without conflicts through tea, according to your website. So could you elaborate on that?
Yeah, so it's also really too deep to express by words. But I travel around the world with tea box that has tea ceremonial sets so that I can serve tea to at any places around the world when I was traveling there. And I was whisking tea to lots of people around the world and share a cup of tea together. And I wasn't speaking, you know, Spanish or Chinese or other languages except, you know, Japanese and English, but I can understand each other. You know, I can communicate each other, you know, through a cup of tea. So that's my experience, and that I have that kind of experience through my life. So I want that kind of world, you know, I want that scene to, I want that, you know, I want to make that kind of scene to any countries or any region or any, not humanity, but any religion, any races. You know, I want to have tea together and not without conflicts. You know, we just can have tea together to create a world of harmony. Just that's through my experience. I thought that's my vision, and that's my vision to pursue.
Right. So having that quiet moment together, you don't have to have the language. It's what's in common is just enjoy the moment together. That by itself is valuable. So, and tea provides the opportunity to sit together quietly, and
exactly
that's focus on that moment, right? Okay, so what is the scope of your business at Tea Room to achieve your goals and vision?
So the meaning of the scope is like the way or the
it's just like more practical, like what kind of products, what kind of activities you have as a part of business.
Sure. So my business is most of my business is collaborating business. You know, our vision is to create a world without conflicts through tea, meaning I can have the tea if there are people. So you know, most of my clients are Japanese really big and huge companies, and they have history and they have customers or clients with their business and on their business. So we have collaboration with that large entities to supply the tea to their customers. So is that right expression?
Yeah, you understand? Sounds like, right, so you are kind of leveraging the power of the big producers because they have influence through their products, and your goal is to educate people how tea can be precious in your daily life outside a tea ceremony room. So that sounds amazing. It sounds very strategic and very impressive. Yeah, so, and also you work as a wholesaler of tea leaves.
Yeah.
And I heard that you you succeeded a factory from tea company that had gone bankrupt in Shizuoka Prefecture, which is a homeland of premium tea leaves. So why did you decide to have your own tea farm?
So I decided because no one is actually succeeding the tea farm, you know, due to economic reason. So the tea price is 1/4 of the price, you know, if I compare was 40 years ago. So actually, right now, the tea price is too low for newcomers to get in the market. So, but I suppose there is, you know, a market, like huge market chance in to get in. So I decided to succeed the faculty in tea farm.
Right. Well, that's the thing, right? So the tea industry started to be more shifted towards pet bottles, like bottled, like mass produced commercial products, which is okay because people still keep drinking tea, but the price of tea leaves started to be naturally coming down. And that's why, you know, the farms you purchased went bankrupt because of the declining price of tea leaves. And and I saw a data by the Japanese government to show that the number of tea farms in 2000 was 54,000, and it's now 12,000, which is less than a quarter. This is very scary.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
Yeah. So what are you doing? I think it's very important. And so what kind of products do you produce at your factory? And I heard you have invented very interesting products to attract new potential tea drinkers.
Yeah, we invented or we do research and developments a lot to make something that no one never, you know, no one has never seen. So one of them is whiskey barrel tea, you know, whiskey barrel aged tea. So there is, you know, real potentials for Japanese whiskey, you know, all over the world, the people, you know, buy Japanese whiskey for their, you know, for their hobbies, or, you know, for their relaxing moments. And Japanese, you know, so I choose one of the really famous whiskey distillery, and I ask them to pass us the whiskey barrel for aging. So I age my Japanese black tea into Japanese whiskey barrel, and the tea has whiskey kind of aroma, but tea. So it's I say in Japan, non-alcoholic tea. So it's quite normal in dictionary, you know. Tea is originally non-alcoholic, but in a compared to alcoholic beverage, I do make a non-alcoholic tea for non-alcoholic tea beverage drinker.
Well, you must tastes really amazing, right? Because there's natural oak flavors like cinnamon and vanilla and all those things naturally infused into tea. So that's a no-brainer. Right.
Yeah.
And the other thing I heard, you have a ochiru.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Tell us about that. That's a very interesting product.
Yeah, we, you know, in Japan, the shisha market is really growing up rapidly, you know, really booming up, actually. So for the moment...
Oh, hold on. So shisha is not a common term. So can you explain what the shisha is?
Yeah, okay. It's a water tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
Water like- tobacco. It's a kind of vape. It's kind of vape, but we smoke through the water, so we burn the jam of tobacco, and we create smoke, and we inhale the smoke through water, so is that correct? Yeah, expression and
right,
explanation.
So instead of drinking as liquid, you inhale through steam. So
yeah.
You get the same benefit, right? Because interesting.
I do collaborate with startup and big companies to make the ochiro as well. So we have strong collaboration partners to make the movement.
Wow. Well, I have to try all those things. You're developing this is very interesting.
Yeah.
And it's a really new idea, right? Because you have to diversify the way to taste tea. And that's the real way to support tea farms. So,
Yeah,
that's great. And by the way, you are also a certified cook by the Japanese government. So why did you get the license?
Oh, I got the license when I was high school student, actually. But, but, you know, I think, you know, for example, you know, US tea company has cook inside the company. Because they do supply ingredients, you know, tea and herbs and botanicals. So there is a cook or there is a barista or there is a wine sommelier in the company at US tea company. But here in Japan, you know, there is a Japanese tea company has, you know, tea people inside, no cook. So... that's real different, you know, in the US, American tea company, you know, American tea company has innovation through without any existent concept. What is that? Industrial war? Barista knows coffee, but barista doesn't know tea. But in the US, they are in the same company. So, you know, barista can make hojicha, you know, roasted tea, or sommelier can taste the tea with, you know, their dimension.
Right. Yeah, it's a, well, I asked this question because I thought, you know, the world, your unique way to come up with new products. I mean, why not culinary, right? So tea doesn't have to be always drunk. And it can be in a steam form, like ochiru.
Yeah.
And I thought you can just utilize it in as an ingredient, which has, I think, a huge potential. So, right. Okay. So what are your plans and dreams?
So we, my company is expanding rapidly as well. So I do expand my company or expand my passion and expand my product to, domestic market and also a global market. But I do want to create something that no one never seen before. And I do want to create something that people are really inspired by, you know, supplier products and idea that and finally supply new products and ideas of tea that has, you know, appreciation to every single moment to the world. That's my vision and that's my dream and plans.
Right. Well, keep us posted and hopefully you can come back and talk more about what you're doing. It's very valuable. Thank you. And where can we find your updates online and on social media?
I do not often post something in English, but I do Twitter with a Japanese account. So I post that on Twitter in a row. Iwamoto, RYOIWAMOTO 1997 as my account name.
Right. So RYOIWAMOTO 1197. Okay. And also you have a website, the tearoom.co.jp, right? Okay. So that's tea room, tearoom.co.jp. So tearoom.co.jp. Okay. All right. So, well, thank you so much for joining us today, and we wish you luck.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. So, listeners, if you have any questions or comments about the show or suggestions for show topics or guests, please contact us at japanese@heritageradionetwork.org or akikotema.com. Japanese is a weekly program and always available at heritageradionetwork.org, as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. My engineer is Matt Patterson, and thank you for listening. I will see you next week. Japanese is powered by Simplecast. Thank you for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a non-profit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thank you for listening.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Awele, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.